CBSI and the World. I'm John Batchelor and Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. Most importantly, he is in London and he's observing the virus, but the virus comes and goes. Inflation is always with us if it's here. And Joe wrote a column some weeks past that we've enjoyed talking about because in it he identified what you'd have to say is a stranger to inflation called temporary inflation. Temporary inflation is another beast entirely. It apparently is a very friendly beast, sort of shaggy with great big brown eyes, and it's very attractive to members of the ruling class in Washington. That is, would be the Democrats and the Republicans who agree with them that temporary inflation is a pet. Temporary inflation is what you can call upon when people are worried about prices going up. Joe, I report to you that a sweet potato in rural Connecticut can cost $2.29 a pound. That's new. Now, I mention that only because it seems kind of expensive for a potato, one potato per pound for concerns about recovery. Now, it's not the price of wood. It's not the price of housing. But is that temporary inflation, Joe? Does that mean that if I wait long enough, it'll be reduced to 79 cents a pound or something like that?
Oh, no, no, no. You're going to have to continue paying through the nose for sweet potatoes indefinitely, I'm afraid. This is this whole argument that's going on because, I mean, last week we had really shocking inflation data again, suggesting that price rises are continuing a pace every month. They seem to be rather above the what used to be the Federal Reserve's 2% target. And again, the storyline that we are always given is that there's nothing to see here because it's not going to last, that this inflation will be temporary, that we'll have a few months where the inflation rate will seem quite high, and then the inflation rate will go down again. And as I keep trying to explain, and you keep trying to explain, it doesn't work like that. Inflation is a rate. So it might be that the rate of price increases is very high right now, and then the rate of price increases will moderate in the future. But you'll notice that, you know, the prices are still increasing. We're only talking about how fast. So I think that there is too much relaxation in the Federal Reserve and among a lot of economists about what is actually going on right now, because I think that, I don't necessarily think that we're going to be coming into a hyperinflationary period or anything like that, but people are going to continue experiencing this. They're going to continue seeing these higher prices at the fuel pump, and they're going to see it in the supermarket. And I don't think those prices are necessarily going to go down even after they stop rising as quickly. And that's going to have consequences for a lot of people.
I note, Joe, I've learned that the Michigan consumer polling that does everywhere, or consumer confidence polling, has surprisingly declined in the face of the recovery and the news that we're vaccinated. Decline from slumping to 82.3 from 88.3 in April. Now, maybe it's a one-off, Joe, but the consumers, those of us who eat sweet potatoes, we're very sensitive to prices at the food counter. We're very sensitive to prices in housing and lumber. We see inflation. And we puzzle about it, but we're told again and again that it's harmless. I mention that the White House is also saying it's harmless, so it's not just fancy economists who work on Wall Street. Cecilia Rouse, who is chair of the Council of Economic Advisers, in remarks to the media said she's been told this is temporary inflation. Is there any way we can know now whether it's temporary or permanent? Is there any test that's been developed so that we can put this behind us?
No, you only ever know it in hindsight. And I'm glad you mentioned those consumer surveys, because I think that this is a major error that the Fed and a lot of economists are starting to make. So their argument that this is temporary or transitory inflation is based on a very specific theory that ultimately what drives inflation is people's expectations about what prices are going to be in the future. And, you know, there's this whole mechanism in the theory where, you know, if I am a consumer and I think that the prices are going to go up in a year, I start bargaining harder for higher wages today, and then my employer has to pay me more, and that means they have to charge more to their customers, and you create a cycle that way. Now, I don't actually think there's a huge amount of convincing evidence that the real world works that way. I think that, you know, what causes inflation is a lot more complicated. I think that there are monetary angles to do with what the central bank does. There are often political angles to do with the amount of faith that people have in their government to enact responsible policies. And so we should worry when you hear an economist in the government saying nothing to see here, guys, everything's under control, because that implies that they actually know what under control means. And I'm not sure that they do.
Because we're speculating about inflation, is there a script that we can anticipate, Joe, if the inflation is not temporary? Is there something we should watch? For example, if this is related, I note that the last several weeks, really since March, the markets, especially the hot markets, the growth stocks, the FANGs, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, the FANGs have been behaving oddly given their growth scenario going forward. The market likes to discount over many months. They've been going sideways to down. Even the magical Tesla has hit a ceiling and bounced and fallen back down again. That's the market saying they think there can be something to the inflation scenario, and that means that future profits have to be trimmed in expectation. Is that something that the White House, that the Congress, that economists listen to, or do they just regard the market as fickle? You know, it goes up and down. Who cares what it means?
Well, we're about to find out the answer to that question, because I certainly think that they should be taking that kind of message seriously. I mean, I was just making an argument to you a minute ago that inflation expectations don't necessarily matter. I think that is more true when you're talking about the behavior of households and ordinary businesses who aren't necessarily in a position to predict precisely what they think inflation is going to be in the future. But where expectations do start to have a big impact can be in the financial markets, and the kind of guess or bet that you were just talking about investors making on some of these technology stocks and how future inflation or price movements might affect those companies' profitability. And the difficulty that a central bank has here is that it becomes hard to know who is the tail and who is the dog, and then which one is wagging the other one. Because, you know, I think that certainly the Fed would like to think that the ability of Fed governors to go out and give speeches can signal to the market what the market should expect inflation will be. But it is just as likely that the market will start sending its own signal, as we've had in the bond markets at various times in recent months. And then the Fed ends up having to respond to that. And this is all very unpredictable in this environment where the interest rates are as low as they are, and the central bank's balance sheet, because of the quantitative easing asset purchases, is as big as it is. And we are all in completely uncharted territory now.
A very, very famous economist who writes for the New York Times has said that if and when inflation is real, that the Federal Reserve can act and control it, has said that. Now, Joe, I want to entertain what it would look like if the Fed were to suddenly realize that inflation was not temporary and have to reverse or at least change its expectation not to be raising rates, what is it, till 2022, 2023, into the indefinite future. Is that something they could do abruptly? The September meeting or the December meeting suddenly say, oops, it's not temporary, and therefore we need to move rates. How would they signal that, Joe, and what would that day look like?
Well, I mean, good luck to them if that day actually arrives at any point this year, because it is going to create an enormous problem for them. I mean, first off, You would have a lot of disruption in financial markets if that happened, because the markets have been primed to pay most attention to the central bankers when they are saying that the rates will be low forever. So I think that in that kind of situation, you would expect a lot of disruption, because investors would not at all have believed it was remotely possible that you would have a rate increase this year. And then the other problem that the Fed has, which we need to talk more about, is fiscal policy. I mean, remember, this is happening against the backdrop of a Democratic administration and a Democratic-controlled Congress who are really intent on spending a lot of money, much of which is going to have to be financed through borrowing and you know, deficits and then accumulating more debt. And that places a lot of political pressure on the Fed, because remember that one consequence of rising interest rates is that the government has to pay more to finance itself. And the Congressional Budget Office has done all of these estimates. I can't remember the precise numbers off the top of my head, but the federal budget is actually very sensitive to relatively modest increases in interest rates in terms of the amount of revenue each year that the government would have to pay in interest just to service the debt, let alone all of the new debt that is going to be coming in under the Biden administration's plans if those happen. So I think that you know, one of the dangers that we have with this inflation discussion is the Fed finds itself with less and less room to maneuver because it has primed markets never to expect an interest rate increase, and it's not sure that the government could afford one.
I've never spent any time thinking of myself as an inflation hawk, but I think this conversation satisfies. I am hawkish, and we are speculating about hawkishness. Does that make us outlaws? To your knowledge right now, is this acceptable conversation on Wall Street?
It is becoming much more acceptable than it was. I mean, you know, what's funny is that we had this conversation 10 years ago, economists and commentators, where there was a lot of concern the policies the Fed and the Congress brought in after the subprime mortgage collapse in 2007 and 2008. There was a lot of concern that we were going to have big inflation then, and it didn't happen. And in retrospect, it didn't happen because there were a bunch of confounding policy factors that were going on that were so unusual that people hadn't really factored those into their understanding of what was likely to happen with inflation. And now the problem is now that the inflation doves are making the opposite mistake. They are saying because it didn't happen a decade ago, it won't happen now. And I think that they are in danger of missing some of the factors that are different this time compared to 10 years ago that might end up making inflation more of a danger. And it's not necessarily that you have to predict something like the Weimar Republic in Germany in the 1920s, where you need a wheelbarrow full of cash just to buy a loaf of bread. Even a relatively modest inflation of 2 or 3% a year can create a lot of economic havoc, especially if consumers are not used to that, because we haven't had that in a long time.
Joseph Sternberg, he writes political economics column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He's based in London. And when we come back, life in London right now, because the pubs are open. What does that mean? What can it mean about hugging, for example? Boris Johnson seems exceedingly concerned about hugging and the pubs being open. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.